Tonight's reading is from the book of John, verses 19 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you would love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command to you, to love one another. The word of the Lord.
Friend, friendship, I have called you friend. That's so nice. Isn't it nice? It's nice to have friends, right? To have somebody call you a friend, a good friend. You're such a good friend. You're such a good friend. You're my friend, of course, of course. Don't worry about it. What are friends for? What are friends for? In John's gospel, Jesus uses the word friend and applies it to the implied reader of the gospel, which could very possibly be me. So Jesus has called me friend. Jesus is my friend, and I don't mind telling you, that makes me feel pretty special. And while the word friend can sometimes seem to lack a sense of, I don't know, maturity, to lack a seriousness, maybe it's a signifier so vapidly elastic that it can also be used to indicate someone who you really don't know at all. I mean, we're friends, but we're not friends. But that relationship, the relationship that the word friend points to in its best sense, appears to be very significant. Studies have shown, I know that that is a false attribution, but there are a lot of studies, so you can look them up. Studies have shown that close, healthy friendships can increase your lifespan up to 50%. And double the chance of surviving cancer. Close, healthy friendships can also greatly decrease your risk of heart disease and even protect you against bacterial infection. And if you have the right friend, greatly increase the possibility of eternal life. Having the right friends can make you healthier, and they can also make you more successful. Individuals with close, healthy friendships do better in interviews, are more likely to be promoted, and are more attractive to others. But having an unhealthy or toxic friend can actually decrease your annual salary, cause frequent outbreaks of some skin diseases, and have over time been shown to affect your number of likes and retweets in a statistically negative way, as well as increasing your levels of stress, anxiety, and susceptibility to debilitating depression. Apparently, a friend's effect on your life is so significant that professionals have created tests you can take to diagnose whether you have close and healthy friendships or toxic and potentially damaging friendships. In my research, I found these tests printed in all kinds of magazines. Well, I guess They're more like quizzes than tests, but they can be found in such medical slash lifestyle publications as Cosmopolitan, Maxim, or even Pet Fancy. Oh, yeah. No, Zoe, you know, your canine or feline best friend can have a real impact on your quality of life. For instance, those who report having a toxic cat-human relationship drink 20% more white wine. It's a fact. Given the effect our friendships can have on us, it's important to take these tests slash quizzes regularly. And many of us do not take the time to examine our friendships and see really whether or not we are our friends are raising us up or bringing us down, whether they're total bros or time bombs. There are many definitions of a healthy friendship, and friendship quizzes can be helpful. I've always been so grateful to call Jesus my friend, and I've just assumed that our friendship is a healthy one. But in the spirit of questioning the text, I don't think it would hurt to just take a few of those test questions and sort of examine my relationship with Jesus to see what kind of friendship it really is. I think we could all benefit, you know? And, you know, also these quizzes, you know, they're super fun. So I've taken some questions from these different magazine quizzes, tests, whatever you want to say. And so I thought we might all do this together. I mean, you don't have to write the answers down. You can just sort of keep track of them in your head. Now, these are actual questions I took from actual magazine friend tests, quizzes. Okay, so answer these questions honestly about our friend Jesus. Does your friend always have to be right? Has your friend ever pulled a vanishing act right when they are needed most, only to show up again without out of nowhere? Does your friend say they always want to be with you and make exaggerated promises about your future relationship? If you disappoint your friend, do you feel or do they imply there could be dire consequences? Has your friend made a number of promises they haven't kept? Does your friend make declarations about your friendship that seem unconditional, but on further examination seem manipulative or feel contingent? We don't need to score them. We don't need to score it. Friend is a funny word for Jesus to be throwing around, I think. I mean, it does. It lacks this kind of sense of seriousness, especially in this context in John. This section of John's gospel is known as the farewell discourse. Jesus is telling the remaining 11 disciples that he will be going away, returning to God the Creator, and that he will send the Holy Spirit to guide the disciples. And Jesus blesses them with the peace of the Spirit and gives them a new commandment, that they love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. That is the commandment. Love one another. This is the commandment of love. It's repeated over and over again in many different places in John's gospel, articulated in many different ways. Unfortunately, in this instance, Jesus expresses it by saying, I'm your friend. Are you my friend? I'll be your best friend if you keep my commandment. Will you be my friend? Will you? Jesus. I mean, come on. Jesus. Relax. Nobody wants a clingy friend. No one has greater love than to lay down one's life for their friend. You are my friends if you keep my commandment. I mean, there could be something profound going on in this week's portion of John's gospel, but I don't think it has very much to do with what a great friend Jesus is. Jesus says, I command you to love one another. Followed by, there's no greater love than lay down your life for a friend. Then he says, you are my friend if you do what I command. Therefore, he says, I'll lay down my life for you if you're my friend. And you're my friend if you do what I command, which is to love one another. And the way you do that is to lay down your life. So if you don't lay down your life, You're not loving one another, which means that you are not doing what I command, resulting in the fact that you are not being my friend. And then, so I won't lay down life for you. Doesn't this all seem weirdly manipulative for, like, the good news? It seems weirdly manipulative in the context of Jesus calling me his friend. Perhaps outside of the context of friendship and in the wider context of John's gospel, there are some other implications of this scripture that we might glean. I mean, we have to read to the end of the story. Because when we read to the end of the story, we see that Jesus in the gospel of John clearly means something different by friend than what I found in the lifestyle magazines in my internet research. Because the Gospel of John is not written in the context of lifestyle, corporate ladder climbing, compensation boosting, pet fancy culture. The Gospel of John is written in the context of an oppressive empire, where the few with power and privilege control the many without power and without privilege, and they dismiss the most vulnerable. Jesus is acting in a context of blatant injustice, and he's telling his followers that my friends are those who need justice, and justice requires sacrifice. And it's Jesus, the Christ, the living mercy of God, who sacrifices. Not for friends that make him wealthier, healthier, or more attractive to others. He sacrifices for those in need of justice, for the weak, for the wanderers, for the sinners and the outsiders. Justice requires sacrifice. And whether we're like the total bro or the toxic friend, Jesus gives us this new commandment. Love one another. Not just the people in your life that are good for you or good to you. Love every one another. And we can love every one another.